Shalom to all the saints once again. This is Brother Ryan once more and speaking to what has ever been in Jesus' name, as the Word of God is so very precious to us and must be seen by the beauty contained in it. As the fruits of the Spirit that contemplated all this before the worlds were framed by his let there be pronouncements. And those things, they're the most valuable commodity of all time, the pearl of great price, that you give all you have to obtain it. And your very life depends on those things. So God has made his gospel good news to be very beautiful, like as a bride adorned, in order to attract faith to him who is the source and fountain from which all blessings flow. And the qualities of the fruits of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience of long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, humbleness of meekness, temperance of being established and balanced in behavior. These are all attractions that draw one nearer to the Lord. The other side of that coin is that those qualities are repellents to the works of the flesh that include all forms of wrath and strife that are listed in the works of the flesh earlier in Galatians chapter 5. So thank God we're not appointed to wrath, and that is beautiful. Even as we speak upon our title subject, which is the beauty of Psalms 19, this would be the third part, and the plea of Moses was in Psalms 90, verse 17, it was for the beauty of the Lord our God to be upon us, to establish the work of our hands. So we look for beauty of creation, and we look for the beauty of the word of the Lord. And in so doing, the Creator had to first establish his own handiwork of the natural universe in order to bring about life, and that more abundantly. That shows in the first six verses of Psalms 19. And every work of our hands that were fashioned by the Almighty God, El Shaddai of old, depend upon his work, just as it is that every building has a builder, but he who made everything possible is the foundation for all those buildings. And those things are evident, but faith is a discipline that needs expression, so the word of God is mightily expressed here in Psalms 19. And we pray and praise and preach to be an extension of the life that ever was, now is, and always will be. And the beauty of the Lord is upon us, from the promise of a Messiah, a Redeemer to be born, which came to a beautiful birth in Bethlehem. There's a pain to be endured at birth, but if it leads to life, well, that's beautiful in the end. And God's word, it brings beauty to us, the beauty of faith. And what was it that Jesus sought of in his earthly pilgrimage? Prestige or power of this world? No, certainly not. Did he look for holy relics? Did he lead a search party to find the Ark of the Covenant that had been lost for ages? No, he did not. Did he look for riches of silver and gold? No, he did not. Jesus sought faith and was amazed when he found it, such as when the Matthew 8 centurion said, "I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." It's the word of God that changes everything. And the scripture, it plainly says, Jesus marveled at that answer. And that tells you that the Son of Man, as a title that Jesus often referred to himself in scripture, he had a look of wonder and grateful surprise upon his face when he found faith. Now, what a look, if we could only see it. But we do see it by faith. We see it in the faith of others. We see it by scripture. Faith that works by love is the fine gold of the Spirit. And God's word is fitly spoken, like as apples of gold in pictures or in frameworks or bowls of silver. So the beauty of the Lord, it reaches us here in Psalms 19 on two distinct levels. First of all, the beauty of the Lord speaks to us from the standpoint of the created work, which we put our focus upon in the first six verses first two parts of this prayer song of David. And then there is God's handiwork that's evident to all there for us to inspect and draw faith upon. And there's a deep well of faith evident there for what makes a man like David to compose such songs and express his innermost desires. I think he was certainly a busy person, being king and all, but it takes some very strong motivation to write these things. Something has to reach very deep into a person's soul to bring out such praises and acknowledging of truth. So now then, from Psalms 19, we come to verse 7 as the psalm turns to the other evidence of God's presence, the conceived of, then inspired, and then written for all to see, the Word itself, the Word of our Bibles, the collected books that form up the entirety of the work of the Law and the Prophets, the Gospels and Epistles, and finally to the Revelation on Patmos. As Jesus himself was the Word covered by a veil of flesh. His words reflect the inner being. His inspirations reflect the inner person. So these following verses are different in scope in that they're speaking on a very personal level, as once again, verses 1 through 6 reveal that God is, that there is a maker of heaven and earth. But from verse 7 onward, you get to know the person of God from his commandments, which are not grievous to uphold, but rather you find yourself in them. You find the origin of your own spirit. So know your Bible, know your God. And there are none so free as those who have been made free by these redemption words. You're made free by getting back to the source of who you are and the originator of your soul. And the gospel shows you the way. So then, let's just share together in the reading of verse 7 and go from there. As David changes his emphasis, but he doesn't change his inspiration, it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that's evident in his words. And here from Psalms 19 in the 7th verse, David writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The law of the Lord's not only in the following of rules, it's found written in the heart, and the soul then recognizes the holiness within. Many people can be obedient to rules, but yet still have no love for them. Our calling is one of the heart, to love that which is written. To love the gospel of the heart, such as prophesied of in Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 31 onward, where it's spoken that the Lord will make a new covenant with Israel and Judah, one of the law written in the heart. So the law of the Lord here, it's a calling. It's a calling to the heart and soul of God's people. After all, Jesus maintained the kingdom of God is within you. So far better to follow righteousness by faith instinct than just merely to obey rules. There's a reason for the commandments, for we need instruction to help us along the way. But the measure of faith that we're given in Romans 12 and verse 3, it has to be there, which needs nurturing for sure, but the seed planted will have its effect as the Lord of the harvest gathers what he has sown. So here we have two precepts that are agreed to walk together, both seeds of God's planting, his creation handiwork, and now his written work that tells you of his very own being. Both reveal who God is, but each relies on the other to give a full picture. As the creation statements reveal the power of God, but his written and spoken word tells us of the Lord's mercy and his grace. And we need both witnesses. And David perceives this on a very deep level, guided by the Spirit that wants to show us greater things. And the Bible is a double witness book, is given to Moses and to Jesus. Jesus delivered the same, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And this follows that pattern, as the deep things of God call unto the deep. Everything working together in harmony, working together in continuity, from the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The Lord establishes himself that way, much as is written in Hebrews 6:17, in that there was a twofold approach to the Abrahamic covenant by a promise and then an oath. Those two working together to establish a precept of faith. For it reads that at Hebrews 6, that by two immutable, you can't cut them off or silence them. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, by a promise made to the old patriarch, and then that promise was confirmed by an oath, as God could swear upon no greater. He took an oath that was sworn upon his own holiness, that he would perform the covenant promised. So this reading out of Psalms 19 is similar, as the work of creation is confirmed by the word of promise written. And one writing is found in the heavens above, the other is written upon in a book, upon parchment or paper now, for everyone to see and compare. It's a double witness, like as it is for a promise and an oath of Hebrews 6. The scriptures move in that way, speaking to one another over the centuries of time, written by different authors, but always inspired by the same Spirit. It's a law and it's a testimony at the same time. There are statutes, there are commandments, such as are written in the next verse, as well as the witness of creation. And in Psalms 19, now we're down to the 8th verse, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Thus we learn who God is by these attributes and by these definitions. The word's many things. It's perfect because it gets you to know your God and put your name in the book of life. And that's exactly what it was intended to do. That's exactly what it was inspired to do, which is perfect. And then it's sure. It's amen. It's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's enduring, it's true, it's righteous. And thus we find the fullness of God as it's found here. And we should rejoice in that fact, which is what we do in our private moments and in the assembly of the church or the tabernacle, as we're reminded, forsake not the assembling together, for that's where we combine our worship to draw strength from one another. And God knows we have need to bear one another's burdens, to fulfill the royal law, and to have the joy of battle and the joy of victory within us, as we're in training to sing victory songs, if you want to look at it that way. Every song that you've ever sung is in training to sing the songs of glory, such as the song of Moses and the Lamb, Old Testament faith and New Testament witness put together, and a song that rejoices, for worthy art thou to take the book and open the seals thereof, as the witness of Christ goes on, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tongue, people, and nation. And what is it that compares to the joy of that song? That's sung in harmony by those who hold both the word of God within their hearts and those of the New Testament testimony of Jesus, as they sing together. We're in preparation for that moment, as are the singers upon Mount Zion in Revelation 14, who sing a new song. And there's joy of victory in their songs that are sung in harmony of praise. The overcomer's heart is within them, for out of great tribulation they are redeemed. And that has to show. Praise has to rise above, and out of the hardness of the battle, greater joy has come because of what they endured, and consequently to what we endure. It brings greater songs and greater names written in heaven. So Psalms 19, being joyful praise out of adversity, agrees with that. It works its work, converting the soul, making wise the simple. Then it rejoices in that fact and opens up the spiritual eyes to see, and it warns us ahead of time of things which are to come, which is verse 11. We'll come to that tomorrow. As the Lord leads and guides, he won't spare you every trial, and I'm sure you all are aware of that, but he will lead and guide you with the staff of a shepherd. And it all works together for good if you love the Lord and hear the voice of his calling. If you don't love the Lord's voice and you don't love his calling, then it might not work out so good for you. But again, we're not appointed to wrath. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and would that all men and women everywhere come to him for abundant and everlasting life. And there will be victory and praise to testify of the kingdom which is to come, the one of the Lord's preparing and of his making. There will be gladness of strength imparted and rejoicing because of the victory. I think the songs will be glorious, and I think they'll be loud enough to be heard. I think they'll be loud enough to be heard in heaven and earth, as great blessings are ahead in Jesus' name. So may the giver of all blessings abide with you constantly, brothers and sisters. Amen.